My dear brothers and sisters, today, as I've said in the beginning, is a very special day. We have just entered Jerusalem with jubilation, laying our branches down so that Christ may enter on the donkey, on this court, so that Christ may be acclaimed as King. And we have sung Hosanna. And as we said earlier, we saw that the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, even Herod, as we have heard, they were waiting for Christ. They wanted to meet him. But for these others, they wanted to crucify him. They wanted him dead because he was a disturbance. Yesterday we were told, they were like, with this man's behavior, the Romans are going to destroy our city. We are going to lose everything. That's why they were looking for him. So they may arrest him and they deal with him sternly. But we saw Christ running away. Time had not yet come. There was also another occasion where they wanted to arrest him, to throw him by the pinnacle of the temple. They could not manage because time had not come. In the Gospels, especially if you remember the wedding feast at Cana, Jesus was telling his mother, "Woman, what is it that you want from me? My hour has not yet come." So time had not yet come. And in the book of Scripture, we are told everything has its own time. Being born has its own time. Dying has its own time. This and that. Everything has its own time. And Christ knew that the time had not yet come. And when he knew that now time had come, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Jerusalem." And they were like, "They are going to kill you." They wanted to kill you. But because time had come, he insisted that they go to Jerusalem. And when they were near, he instructs his disciples, as we saw, to go into this village, ask for this coat, bring this coat, so that he may ride on this coat as he enters triumphantly into Jerusalem. So that all those who were asking about him, all those who wanted him, they can see him enter triumphantly in Jerusalem. And so he did. He entered with a lot of triumph, a lot of jubilation. People were so excited, so happy, the Messiah has come, and Hosanna, and all sorts of things. But Christ knew that there was something which was going to happen. And that was something big. He needed to be prepared for that. And he needed to prepare his disciples beforehand. So as he's entering Jerusalem, he is well aware of the consequences of his entering into Jerusalem. And we have seen the consequences of his decision to enter into Jerusalem in this partial narrative that we have just read from the book of Luke. Luke is saying, when the hour had come, Jesus sat at table and the apostles with him. And now he started, first of all, to explain to them what is going to take place. And he's explaining to them the desire he has always had to sit at table to eat this Passover with them. So that before he suffers, he may have again helped them to understand what he's going to go through. Though they didn't understand, we know. And then he tries to give meaning to the chalice. He tries to give meaning to the bread. He gives them the new meaning in order for the disciples to see that what is happening now is a new kind of a reality. And he's saying, "Divide it amongst yourselves. For from now on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So he's promising them a kingdom which is about to come. With the bread, he does the same. He breaks it and he gives it to them to do this in remembrance of him. This is what we do every day. That's why we say Christ is constantly present in our midst whenever we are celebrating the Eucharist, because this is what he had instructed us to do. And he gives them this chalice, a symbol of the blood that is going to be poured out for you and for me, for our salvation. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, there are many other things that we have seen in this gospel, in this partial narrative. In this narrative of Christ, we have seen betrayal. We have seen denial. We have seen corruption at its best. We have seen all sorts of things. We have seen even the people who claimed to be so close to Christ, who even promised that they would be closer to him, they abandoned him. They ran away from him. We see a Christ who is left alone. And even beforehand, he gives them this, he tells them that all these things you are claiming will not happen. You are going to run away. You are not going to be there. You are going to abandon me because you don't understand that which I am going to go through. Just on that one, my dear brothers and sisters, coming back to the psalmist is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Christ reaches this point in time when he's asking God, why have you forsaken me? The men I ate with, the people I did my ministry with for 3 years, today one has abandoned me, one has betrayed me terribly, others have run away. One who was so close to me has denied me that he doesn't know me. These people I preached to every day, I healed their sick, I provided food for them. Today they are shouting, crucify him. No one is there for me. No one wants to carry this cross with me. No one wants to carry this burden with me. And he's like, my Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe many of us today are saying to God the same. My God, why have you forsaken me? For many reasons, we feel that God has forsaken us. There are many things that we have been praying for, many things that we desire to have, be it a job, be it a marriage, be it a good family, be it children, be it. There are many things that we have asked from the Lord. And we live sometimes in situations where even the people we think they are close to us, they come a time when they treat us badly. Yeah? They treat us with a lot of disrespect. They treat us with a lot of humiliation. And there we sit, but my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Yeah? Some of you will say, whenever my mother-in-law comes, I do this for them, I do this for her, I do this for my in-laws and all this. But today, why? Why am I insulted today? Why are they treating me like this? Why this disrespect? Sometimes even the children you have raised in your own home, today they are working and they insult you and you're like, but why have you abandoned me, O Lord? I spend everything on this child, but today why? These are the questions that we ask ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters. Eh? People claimed to have loved us. They no longer love us. We are alone. But the Lord is saying, you who fear the Lord, give him praise. Even though you are passing through difficulties, give him praise because he's going to rescue you. He's going to save you. Eh? The psalmist is saying, I will tell of your name to my king and praise you in the midst of the assembly. The people are entering with Jesus Christ in Jerusalem because they are happy of what they have seen despite having changed later on. My dear brothers and sisters, there is so much that the Lord has done for us. Even the things that are happening to us today, the challenges that we have today cannot be compared with what God has done for us and with what God is going to do for us. If only we have faith, if only we remain strong, if only we believe that the God who has called me, the Lord who has brought me on earth, the Lord who has given me even this family, this wife, this husband, these children, this job, is not going to abandon me, is going to be there for me. People can throw banana around your way for you to sleep, but the Lord will hold you. Amen. But we need to have faith, otherwise you go with the banana. Yeah. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, Christ is saying, we need to learn to pray and pray without ceasing. We need to acknowledge the fact that if only we have God on our side, everything else cannot shake us. If only we have God on our side, my dear brothers and sisters, even our burden, our cross can be light. If only we have God, we can love our betrayers. If only we have God, we can forgive our betrayers. We can forgive our enemies. If only we have God, we can embrace these people, kiss them, and love them even more. and bring them to Christ. But if we don't have God beside us, my dear brothers and sisters, this cannot happen. We need prayer. Not only prayer, but also we need a spirit of humility. And this is what we have seen in the first reading. We are told, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. The author of this book is saying a thing to be grasped. This humility is something that we need to marvel at. He emptied himself. He was a God, but he did not count equality with God. He came for a purpose, and he came to save humanity. And in order for him to do that, he had to humble himself. I like yesterday's reading, my dear brothers and sisters, very much because of the contents of this scripture. Because what we are talking about today is basically what we are seeing even in the reading of yesterday. One who is emptying himself, one who is taking the form of a servant, one who is saying, my time has not yet come. One who is saying, sometimes you need to run away. Hi. For those who were in Mass yesterday, we were saying, sometimes you need to run away. Type of it. Not until the time has come. Then you cannot run away. Christ is running away from the arrest because the time has not come. If we are praying or we are asking ourselves to be humble, humility sometimes causes us to run away, to walk away. Sometimes you don't need to show yourself the man. Sometimes you need to die. And this is what Christ is teaching us today. Humility, a humility that is leading him to death. In our families, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the humility that we need to learn. A thing to be grasped. Humility to the, I don't know how far or how deep, but very deep and profound humility. The humility of Christ. Where you say, okay, I am right, she is wrong. But on this one, I'm ready to die. On this one, let her be right. Aye. Die for the sake of the marriage, for the sake of the peace at home. And later on, then you can discuss and resolve issues. Because Christ, having been denied, having been betrayed, he goes to the cross, he dies, and later on, he comes back to Peter. Simon Peter, do you love me? Aye. Now the challenge is on Peter to accept or to say no. My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is inviting us to be humble. But not only to be humble, but obedient to the truth. Obedience unto death, we are told. The obedience that is profound. Because if you remember when Christ was in Gethsemane, or when Christ was in the wilderness for 40 days, what saved him was obedience to the will of the Father. We have talked about challenges. He had challenges in the wilderness, in the desert, for 40 years. No food, no water, nothing. And the devil was very much close to him. Tempts him in this one, tempts him on that one, tempts him here and there. But Christ remained obedient to the will of the Father. We are called, my dear brothers and sisters, to be obedient to the will of God. We are called in different ways. We have been given different charisms, different blessings, and we need to be obedient in our state of life, obedient to what we are called to, obedient to the will of God. Not only that, my dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is also inviting us to confess what we believe, to preach what we believe, to share, in short, what we believe. If we know our faith, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to go out there and talk about it. Preach this faith that we believe. Today is Palm Sunday. We'll be asked, but what were you doing in the streets? No, to a philosophy of your tandasho tunchindu, what were you doing? Aye. You need to explain what is the significance of this triumphant entry of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. We need to know our faith, preach our faith, proclaim our faith. The last thing, my dear brothers and sisters, that we see today is doing the will of God to the end. Amen. doing the will of God to the very end. Never to give up. Christ did not give up. Christ persevered to the very end. This is what we have seen today. The Passion, in the Passion, we read the all Passion narrative in order for us to see that it was not an easy journey, but Christ persevered to the end. And in his suffering, he suffered with dignity. They disrespected him, but those who were dealing with him, he treated them with dignity. Aye. Many of us, we live in homes where we are treated like a chikolopofi. And many times we pay back evil for evil. Christ is paying back evil for good. Christ is humble. Christ has still the respect that these men deserve. Christ is not insulting them. Christ is not calling them names. Christ is not threatening them. Because if he wanted, he could threaten them. But he's not threatening them. He's so humble and respectful, even in his suffering. Even us, my dear brothers and sisters, when we suffer, let us suffer with dignity. People can treat us like, I don't know, but we ourselves know that we are worthy more than what people think of us. Because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And we know that we are not alone, because God is right beside us. And because of that, we need to maintain that dignity that we have. Even when things don't seem to be working out, my dear brothers and sisters, let us not give up. Let us be strong and respect ourselves first of all. And keep that dignity that the Lord has given to each and every one of us. We are dignified by the Lord, my dear brothers and sisters. And that we need to keep. Kusunga bwino. Because if we lose our own dignity ourselves, we become like a tumbler which is broken. And nobody can put it back to pieces, those pieces. But if we keep our dignity, if we keep our respect, knowing that this is just a time, it will pass. I can't lose my dignity for just this. No. I can't throw myself here just for this. No. The Lord is going to see me through. And when that time passes, you'll be happy. Because you would have preserved your self-esteem. Fine. For those of us who are not respecting ourselves, let us learn from Christ. Members have a problem. I said in conclusion, the last conclusion. The last conclusion is this. Palm Sunday ends the period of Lent, and it introduces us into the Holy Week. And as we enter the Holy Week, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm appealing to you, take time with the Lord. Take time with the Lord. Try to reflect about your life. This year, our period of Lent has been so challenging, but we can't lose even this last part. Fine. Let us take time with the Lord. Let us take time to sit, reflect, pray, reconcile with others, so that we may enter into Easter with a reconciled heart. If we have grudge against one another, let us work on that. If there are certain things that are not going so well in us, let us work on that. So that come Easter, we are clean. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ with a clean heart. And remember, it will not be easy. It will not be easy. Because even when he's on the cross, even those two criminals, they are suffering the same. But they are still adding salt to the wound. It will not be easy, my dear brothers and sisters. But we need a strong faith, a strong conviction, and to hold on to God. Because he is there for us, and he will never let us down. May God bless you. Amen.